Morning. You know, it's been said behind every great man there is a great woman, and I think that's true. But I also believe that behind every great pastor there's a great congregation. And so on behalf of the pastoral staff, we want to appreciate you. Thank you for what you do, your prayers, your support. The work of God could not happen in this church without you. So I think I would speak for all of our pastors in saying that and thanking you for your labor of love for the Lord and your work for the kingdom and your prayers for us. It means a lot to us. Let me go ahead and pray as we get started today. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your calling upon our lives. As we are reminded, even by going through and observing communion, that you died for us, Lord. You changed the arc of our life. We are different people than we would have been without you. And Lord, as we think about that and as we consider what that means for us, what we are called to do, we pray that your Spirit would make that alive to us. Lord, help us to understand that with the great privilege of being children of God, there is also a great responsibility. And we just pray that as we think through this and as we look at your word and allow you to speak, that our hearts would be open and we would be responsive to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going through our church mission statement, which is about making disciples, right? A church, FCBCLA, exists to make disciples in short form. That's kind of what it says. We talked about what it means to follow Jesus. That was the start of our series. And then what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. More recently, we talked about service as being one of the attributes, the main attributes of anyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. And today, we kind of turned the corner a little bit. We're still on a disciple, what it is to make disciples and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit about outreach and evangelism, sharing the gospel. You know, I prayed hard about this. All of our staff prayed hard about this, this part of the series. We understand that we as a church, this is probably not one of the things we are great at, something that we need to work harder on. And it is our prayer and our hope, as well as some of the plans we're making, which I'll tell you about in a few minutes, that, that we will get better at this, not for our sake, but for God's sake, and that we can become people who really begin to share the gospel with those around us. So, first slide. Let's go. And this is the passage we just read. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay, so this has nothing to do with the sermon, but as a teacher, I kind of want to point out something to you. So we're not in this presentation, but in the presentation that you read earlier, that they showed for the scripture reading, some of the words were capitalized. Remember? Some of the words were capitalized. You know what that means when you see a capitalized words in your Bible? You must have read that like 100 times, right? Do you know what that means? Why they're capitalized? If you see capitalized, just like italicized words, I hope you know what that means, because it usually means the exact opposite of what you think it means. Most people, when they see italicized words, they think that means that's emphasized. Actually, italicized words, in especially in the New American Standard Bible, that means that word was not in the original language. Somebody just put it in there to make sense when you read it in English. So do not say, I don't want to hear anybody in this church saying, this word is italicized, so we got to pay special attention to it, okay? No. Nobody says that, okay? If a word is capitalized in your Bible, like this has certain phrases, I think it's chosen, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for God's own possession, it means that it's taken from an Old Testament quotation. It's taken from the Old Testament. It's quoting from the Old Testament. That's what that means. Okay? And this, it doesn't mean that every quotation from the Old Testament is, that doesn't happen all the time, but when you do see it, it means it's taken directly out of the Old Testament. In this particular case, it's talking about how we were, there you go, okay, chosen race, priesthood, holy nation, people for God's own possession. Can you go to the next slide too? Not a people, now you are the people, not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In the Old Testament, where this shows up, God was talking to the people of Israel at the time that they were really sinning and telling them, judgment is coming because you are not my people. And that's where that phrase, not a people, not the people of God, that God actually told one of the prophets to name their children not a people and not the people of God as a sign to the people that this is who you are. You're not my people anymore. The way you're living and the way you're you are demonstrating your belief in me. You're not my people. Later on though, in another prophet, God changes the name back to you are my people and you are the people of God, my own possession. So it's actually very germane to what we're talking about here in this passage, that the reason it's important is God is saying, you've changed. You're not the same as before. Before you were not my people. I could not look at you. You're not acceptable before me. Now you are because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. So anyway, it has nothing to do with the sermon, but really just for your own knowledge as a Bible student. So when you see capitalized words, that means somewhere in the Old Testament that phrase exists. So it'll be worth it for you to look it up, usually, okay? Okay, all right, let's get to the passage. So next slide. So I wanted to talk about this. The title of this passage, Show and Tell. How do you think that? I don't even remember. It's been a long time since I was a kid. But when I was a kid, we used to have Show and Tell, where I had to bring something and show something and tell something about it. Do you guys still have Show and Tell? Do your kids still have Show and Tell? Any of you ever done a show and tell? Oh, Patrick, you're older than you look then. Show and tell used to, so for those who have no idea what that is, okay, which escapes, blows my mind completely. There are people who have no idea what this means. That when you're a little kid, though, your teacher would say, because they know talking in public is really hard for kids and it's scary, right? So they say, okay, bring something from your house that tells you something about yourself and say why, show it and then tell why it's important to you or something like that. So it's a way to get kids to talk in public. It's kind of that first step, to talk in public, by showing something and then kind of takes a little of the pressure off of them, gives them something to talk about and they have something they can hold on to, and like that. So that's kind of what show and tell is. But I want to talk about show and tell for us as Christians. I think we as Christians, as we look through this passage, that is what we're called to do. We are called to show and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. If you look at here, I'm going to use a couple words to use this. The first part of this passage, your chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for God's own. So God called us. He changed our identity. He made us different than we were before we were Christian and when we were not a Christian. Now we are the people of God. But there's a reason that he did it. The reason is this, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As a disciple or follower of Jesus Christ, one of our purposes, you always say, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? One of our purposes as a follower of Jesus Christ, declared in scripture right here for us to see, we are to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us, to praise God, to tell God's stories, to talk about God to people, about what he's doing in our life. That is something that is not an option for us. That is our purpose. It's one of our purposes. Why did God call you? Why did God make you a Christian? What is God hoping out of you? Why did he create you? There are many reasons, but one of the reasons is that you will proclaim, talk about God. Tell people about God, what he's doing in your life. I want to say that in a clear way that, and I'm repeating myself, I know, but it has to be very clear. One of our purposes in life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, is to tell people what God, about how good God is. That's a purpose. That is a purpose statement. That is why you exist. Why you're a Christian. Not why you exist. Why you're a Christian. I hope we understand that because that shapes everything. I know when we talk about evangelism, and I appreciate Danny's worship set this morning was a lot about evangelism proclamation. This is exactly on point. This is exactly what we're talking about, that we have to understand that, that if we are not doing it, that we are not fulfilling one of the main purposes that God called us. We're failing in our purpose. That is very important for us to understand. Again, because I know, and I totally include myself in this personally, we are not good at this. We're not good at this, generally speaking. Some of us are really good. Most of us are not. Most of us are not. But it is a purpose. It's almost like doing everything you want for God, but not doing the one thing he really wants you to do. That makes no sense. So we need to understand that this is our purpose. To understand our purpose, next slide. So we are called to proclaim, but proclamation comes from recognition, right? Peter writes and he says, the reason you can proclaim about God's excellencies is that He has saved you. He has done some amazing things in your life. I think one of the most transformational or the most attractive things about the Christian faith and what we believe about God is that we believe God inhabits us, that he is active in our life on a daily basis, that he's not sitting up there just watching and every once in a while doing a miracle for us or whatever, that he is with us every day, working with us every day, talking to us every day, working around us, working through circumstances, shaping our life, doing so much for us every day. We have a living and active God, which is so different than most religions in this world. When I go to India, which is a Hindu religion, they have millions of gods. Everything is a god. They'll hang a sock up in their porch and say, that's a god, you know. It's crazy to me what they do. But they have millions of gods. None of them is active in their life daily. None of them is involved constantly working in their life, shaping them. And the idea that there is a god that loves you and is involved in your life daily and is always working with you and for you is mind-blowing to them. But I think we as Christians, because we hear this message, some of you grow up in church, that's all you've heard your whole life, that God is with you, God is in our lives daily and active. It doesn't mean that much to you. But if you think about what that means, the creator of this world, the creator of the universe, the God who is sovereign over all things, for some reason, cares enough about you to be with you every day, to know your thoughts, to know your paths, to kind of shape what's going on around your life. Sometimes I think God protects us from things that we don't even know, right? Because they never happen. It's like something could have happened, but God kept it from happening. I can't imagine what my life would be like if God did not stop so many gazillion things. I could have walked out in a car, run over, you know, hit me, or I could have fallen down the stairs and broke my head. That could really happen. And things like that, who knows, you know, what could happen to you on a daily basis, but God is always shaping things and protecting us from things. And I don't know what my life would be like without him, let alone what he's done for us in terms of making us children of God and all the blessings he brings to our life. But the idea that we have a God who is with us every day and is always around us, we forget, don't we? We forget, unless we're told to remember, like now. I'm telling you, remember. So now you're remembering. But on a normal daily basis, as you go through your day, as you go through life, we forget that God is there. God is right there. Even, and I'm going to call Patrick out on this a little bit. So good training for moderators. So when you have a prayer of invocation, You do not invite God to be there. Why? Because he's already there. Was he not here before Patrick prayed? Of course not, right? When you think about it, right, it totally makes sense. Prayer of invocation is to invoke God's presence. It means we become sensitive. God helps us become sensitive to his presence, to know that it's a prayer for us, really, to know that God is here and to recognize that God is here. It's different. So you want to pray theologically correct, right? You do not pray that God's presence will come. You recognize God, you're here. Help us to acknowledge you and to recognize that. Okay? So understand that God is with us every day. So there's this proclamation part, and part of that comes with recognition. I'm moving towards something here. Keep with me. Next slide. So not only are we called to proclaim, but we're called to demonstrate. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against your soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Because if it's just talk and it's no walk, it means nothing. Right? You can say whatever you want, but if your life doesn't back up what you say, it means nothing. So Peter is saying, hey, your job is to proclaim. You need to get out there, give the message. But you need to live your life in a way so that your message is acceptable, has credibility. If your message has no credibility, it doesn't matter what you say. Nobody's going to listen to you. So the quality of our lives is way beyond just our own personal holiness. The quality of our lives has to do with how effective we are in achieving our purposes to proclaim God's glory. That's why we live the way we're supposed to live. Next slide. Glorification. So that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Usually when we use the word glorification, at least in this church, it's part of the three words, right, in theological circles too. There's three steps, parts of being a Christian, right? You're justified, sanctified, and glorified. And it's talking about our glorification, that in the end, we will be glorified. We will become like Jesus. We will not become God, but we will be like Jesus in character, that all the sinfulness will be done away with. But I'm not talking about our personal glorification. What I'm talking about is glorifying God. For evangelism only makes sense, and even living a good Christian life only makes sense in the bigger picture of our understanding that we are here to glorify God. If we accept that, if we believe that we are here, and one of our major, major, major purposes is to bring glory to God and then to bring people into his kingdom, everything fits together. Next slide. From Matthew, it says this, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your fathers in heaven. Why are we doing good works? Yes, we do good works because we see need, because Jesus did good works. All those are good reasons and right reasons to do good works. But ultimately, bottom line reason why we do good works is that people will glorify God. That's the bottom reason. It's not to feel good, not even to do good. We don't do good to do good. We do good to glorify God. That's the bottom line. That has to be the bottom line in everything. Then it all makes sense. Why do you proclaim? Because you want to glorify God. Why do you live a Christian life? Because you want to glorify God. And without that overriding goal, everything else becomes kind of piecemeal. But it all works together. It all works together to bring glory to God. In fact, I was even thinking, so our own personal glorification, does that glorify God? Next slide. So here's Jesus' prayer, right? I love this. Jesus spoke these things, lifting up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even Jesus understand, look, Father, glorify me, not for my own sake. Not so I can be good and do good and all this. Glorify me so that I can glorify you. It's all about that. And if in your mind your goal as a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ is to glorify God, then you start making choices. You start doing things with that purpose in mind. Why do you live the way you do? Why do you choose to speak the way you do? Why do you talk about God? Why do you not talk about God? Whatever. All these choices start to line up if in your mind your life is about bringing glory to God. And that has to be what it is for us. That has to be what it is for us. Next slide. So here's what we're going to do. This is called Show and Tell. And three things you have to do. We want to proclaim what God is doing in our life. We want to demonstrate so that it gives credence to what we proclaim. And ultimately, we do all of that to glorify God, right? That's kind of what it is. First step, though, is to proclaim. Next slide. So we are going to practice proclamation. Now, here's the thing. So we were talking as pastors, and the English pastors, we meet a couple times a month, and we were talking about, okay, we personally, as well as we as a church, we need to get better at this. That if our purpose is to glorify God, to bring people into His kingdom, we're not getting there. Where we are is not acceptable. Not acceptable. What can we do as a church, as a body of Christ, to move forward? How are we going to move forward from this? And we didn't want it to be just one sermon and say, okay, you heard the sermon, be convicted, change your life, and then leave. Goodbye, right? So we're going to do something different, but I want us to practice something first. So next slide. So if you will please, and I know this is not easy for everybody, but you try it, all right? Grab your neighbor, your neighbor. If it's your spouse and you don't want to talk to them, turn the other way and grab the other neighbor. You have two neighbors. And I want you to think about this. I'll give you 1 minute to think about an answer to this question. Okay, share one way that God has blessed you this past week. It's got to be the past week. Now, why do we say a week? We could say a year. We could say your life. Because all of us have something that happened 10 months ago or 10 years ago that we are thankful for. But does God only work in our lives once every decade? Which is sometimes what you feel like, right? When you hear stories. Because they tell the same, when I was 10, or when I was in a high school camp, or whatever. And that's the only story you hear. And it's almost like God doesn't exist. Didn't stop existing or stop working in your life. That's obviously not true, that God works in our life every day, many times a day. We just don't see it. Or we don't recognize it. So, I'll give you 1 minute to think about this. So don't nobody say anything yet. Just think about it. Think through the past week. And it could be a big thing. It could be something really, 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 really small. I woke up on time today. Or I was only 10 minutes late, or I had a clean shirt, whatever, Just think of something. And this is challenging for us. We're doing this because this is challenging for us. This is not going to be easy. So think about something. I'll give you a minute, then I'll tell you what to do next. All right? But first think on your own. Find something that you're thankful for that God did this past week. So between last Sunday and today. Got 1 minute. Don't say anything. Just think. Don't share yet. Don't share yet. I know you guys are all excited now, right? Okay. Is our timer ready? Okay, so we got a timer program. So each of you is going to have 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. That's it. Okay? So whatever you say, you gotta say it in 2 minutes. So here's what's gonna happen. When I say go, the oldest person in your group will go first. Okay? And you got 2 minutes to share. And when the timer goes off, you have to stop talking. Okay, then we're gonna reset the timer and the next person has 2 minutes to share. Okay? Got it? So everybody know who's sharing first, right? Everybody got it? Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! Just one person. If you're done early, just be silent. Okay, 30-second warning. This is just one person, all right? Just one person. If you're done, just stop. Just be silent. Four, three, two, one, stop! Stop. Sorry if you didn't finish. Just stop. Okay. I'm going to turn around. Next to the other person. Ready? Ready? 5, 4, 3. Well, okay. 4, 3, 2, 1. Go! Thirty-second warning. Okay, stop. Shh. Very good. Okay, so how many of you heard something pretty cool? A lot of people. Praise God. God is alive. Praise God. It'd be pretty sad if nobody raised their hands. How many of you that was hard? Some, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong. That's kind of the goal of this. Okay. Well, let me talk about why we want to do this. First of all, Three reasons why this is good. One, it brings glory to God, right? If you share it with somebody, if somebody doesn't know what God is doing or hasn't heard what God is doing, they can't give glory to God. Like, you may, great things may be happening in your life, but if you never tell anybody, God's glory is pretty limited just because you didn't tell anybody. If somebody else had heard it, just like many of you heard stories today, and you said, praise God. God got glory that he wouldn't have gotten if we didn't do this today. Right? Isn't that our purpose? What is our purpose? Bring glory to God. So you accomplish your purpose, some of you, today. Second, it confirms, it helps us, right? Because when we have to think about it, it reminds us, yeah, God is in my life. Yeah, God does something to us, has done something in my life this past week. Yeah, God has been there for me. And that's a good reminder. We need it so much. And third, it gives non-Christians something to think about. It gives non-Christians something to think about. You know, any non-Christian, you know, even though they don't believe in God, if you tell a story like you just told, they probably listen. It only took 2 minutes. They wouldn't shut you off. And say, at the end, they may say, well, okay, that's good for you, you know. But at least gave them something to think about. And who knows what God will do with that? Who knows what God will do with that? That's a seed planted. You plant enough of those and gets enough water. Who knows what God's going to do? Okay, so here's the bad news. Well, good news for God. Good news for us, I hope, too. So we thought about this, and like I said, our goal is not to make this a one-time thing. We want this, especially in the season and stuff like that, we want this to become part of who we are, that we can become more comfortable talking about God and what he's doing in our life. So for the next several weeks, we don't know how many yet, but several weeks, we're going to take 5 minutes out of every service and do this. So just like you're supposed to do, like the Bible tells us, in between, during the week, you should be thinking, what am I going to share with my neighbor on Sunday? And you start looking now, right, for what God is going to do. Because you can expect that next Sunday when you're sitting here, there will be a two-minute countdown and you will need to share something. And again, don't look for big things. It's not about wowing somebody with what God has done. Just share. The smaller things are probably even better. Because then you recognize more, right? The daily things that God does for us routinely. So don't be looking for, wow, I want God to do a big thing in my life. Maybe not. Probably not. And that's perfectly okay. But I'm sure God will do something. Something. And it's good for us to think about what is God doing. Okay? So be ready. So the next several weeks, again, I don't know how long it'll be. But it's Thanksgiving season, what a great time, right? And holiday season, a great way to practice for opportunities we have to invite people, talk to people about Christ. For the next several weeks, we're going to do this as part of our service. Okay, let me go ahead and pray.